Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Convenience Revolution: How to Deliver a Customer Service Experience That Disrupts the Competition and Creates Fierce Loyalty, by Shep Hyken. Narrated by Timothy Andres Pabon. Chapter 1. How to Use This Book. This book is built around 6 big ideas that together form an ongoing, unstoppable shift in the relationship between buyers and sellers. I call this shift the convenience revolution, and I believe any organization that ignores it is at best missing an opportunity to provide their customers with a better experience. At worst, they're risking disruption by a competitor. Here you'll find in-depth examinations of the 6 convenience principles that drive this revolution, including plenty of real-life examples from the companies leading it. My aim in sharing their stories is to entertain you, intrigue you, and get you thinking about how each of these 6 big ideas can impact your world. By the end of the book, I want to leave you with at least one big idea of your own, an idea you can apply to your own business in a way that more than compensates for the money, time, and attention you've invested here. That's my deliverable. Even though not every concept I share will be relevant to every business, I still want to suggest that you listen to the book from beginning to end, without skipping any of the sections. Doing so will instill a deeper understanding of the foundational concept of convenience and make it easier for you to identify the takeaways and action items that will give you an edge over your competition. Speaking of takeaways, at the end of each convenience principle, you'll find a special section called The Takeaways. This section is extremely important, and I urge you not just to listen to it, but to write down your answers to the questions you find there. By taking just a few minutes to jot down your responses, you can apply what you learn to your own world, set new priorities for yourself and your organization, and identify the best opportunities to raise the convenience bar in a way that delivers a lasting competitive advantage. Chapter 2. The Convenience Revolution. An Overview. Whether you've heard about it or not, whether you believe in it or not, whether you're ready for it or not, the convenience revolution is well underway, and your customers are enthusiastically embracing it. The only real question is whether it will disrupt you, or if you will use it to disrupt your competitors, or maybe even your entire industry. If you're ready to set off a seismic shift in your company's customer experience, then this book is for you. The Oxford Handbook of the History of Consumption explains that it is the relentless pursuit of convenience that determines the temporal texture of individual lives and the pulse of society as a whole. That's another way of saying that today's ever-accelerating customer demand for convenience will continue to disrupt and even wipe out old, unresponsive industries, create brand new ones, and transform those that adapt quickly enough to survive. This will happen with exponentially greater speed as time passes. There are 6 specific ways in which today's business leaders can prepare. You'll start hearing about them in the next chapter. And my urgent advice is that you learn about and adopt them before your competition does. Convenience question. How easy is it to do business with you? Ancient roots. I've been speaking, writing, and posting videos about the convenience revolution for some time now. One of the questions I often hear is, when did the convenience revolution begin? It's a great question, and over the years I've done a lot of digging to track down the best possible answer, which appears to be 534 AD. That's the year the Eastern Roman Emperor Justinian formalized Codex Justinianus, also known as the Justinian Code, a comprehensive set of laws that would serve as the legal foundation of Western civilization for centuries to come. One of its fascinating provisions is a decree that each major crossroad of the Byzantine Empire would feature a store to enable the people to buy the daily necessities of life. As far as anyone can tell, that's the first evidence of the convenience revolution, and for what it's worth, the first recorded launch of a convenience store chain. The key word here, of course, is convenience. Back in ancient times, crossroads were much further apart than, say, the distance between two Starbucks on the same city block in Midtown Manhattan. Justinian recognized that there needed to be provisions available for the convenience of people traveling vast distances. Presumably, he was responding to what we call consumer demand today. The convenience revolution has deep, ancient roots, but the desire to make things more convenient for people is more relevant today than ever. I like to think of Codex Justinianus as an undersea earthquake that triggered the first ripples of a wave that started back in 534 AD, or who knows, maybe even earlier. Ever since, that wave has grown into a uniquely disruptive force, a tidal wave of customer convenience, and you have a choice. You can either ride that wave or be swept away by it. Modern impact. You can trace that wave's trajectory from Emperor Justinian to Jefferson, Uncle Johnny Green, nearly 14 centuries later. In 1927, Uncle Johnny came up with an idea to better serve the customers of the Southland Ice Company, where he worked. He shared his idea with the boss, and his boss loved it and told him to give it a try. To understand the power of Uncle Johnny's idea and its connection to Justinian, you need to understand what the Southland Ice Company did for its customers up to this point. It sold them ice. Remember, this was before refrigerators took over American homes. Back in 1927, to keep your food cold, you put it in an ice box, a literal box that held a big block of ice in a special compartment at the bottom. When the ice melted, you bought another huge block of ice. The Southland Ice Company had 21 locations in Texas where people went to pick up huge chunks of ice. Convenience insight: make the customer's day a little easier. Uncle Johnny had the crazy idea of keeping bread, milk, eggs, and other perishable products on top of the ice in the store and offering them for sale. That way, when customers came in to buy ice, they'd also have the chance to make additional purchases. He focused on basic necessities, the kinds of products people bought to save a trip to a bigger store. They'd pay a little more than they would at a typical grocery store, but they'd save themselves a little time and trouble and make their day a little easier. Uncle Johnny's idea is now a standard business model, leveraging convenience and charging a little more. There are other models, which we'll examine later in the book. Long story short, the Southland Ice Company's revenues exploded. Uncle Johnny took Justinian's idea to enable the people to buy the daily necessities of life and repurposed it for the modern age. Before long, Southland was no longer an ice company, it became a convenience company. The newly established Southland Corporation eventually rebranded its chain of ice block outlets with a snappier, more powerful name, 7-Eleven, to reflect the then unheard of practice of opening at 7 a.m. and closing at 11 p.m. Notice again the emphasis on making things more convenient for the customer. Of course, nowadays there are more than 64,000 7-Eleven stores, and they're the dominant player in a highly competitive sector of the economy. 7-Eleven and all modern convenience stores are following Justinian's innovation, providing only the items you need on your journey. They offer the items you most want and need so you can get in and out quickly, just like Justinian had in mind. Customers wanted that kind of convenience in 524 AD, they wanted it in 1927, and they want it today. Recall the critical choice Uncle Johnny made to ride the wave of consumer demand for convenience rather than wait for it to flatten him. He didn't ignore that wave or pretend it didn't exist or wasn't relevant to his business. He challenged his own organization's status quo and stepped outside the prevailing comfort zone to enable the people to buy the daily necessities of life. He made the right choice. If you doubt any of that, I'd like to pose two questions. One, when was the last time you visited a store to pick up a big block of ice to put into your icebox? Two, when was the last time you visited a convenience store? I rest my case. That wave Uncle Johnny rode to economic success has only picked up speed and strength since 1927. It's now a tsunami. and as it moves forward, it will continue to impact everyone and everything in its path, including your business. Convenience is relevant to your business, no matter what your business happens to be, and no matter whether your goal is to serve businesses, consumers, or some combination of the two. It would be a strategic catastrophe to assume you are already convenient enough for your customer, and it's a potentially huge marketplace advantage to make what you offer to the customer a little more convenient. Convenience insight. Somewhere right now, there's a hotel guest who knows there's a soda machine down the hall selling a can of Coke for $1.50, but who's choosing the $4.50 can of Coke from the mini bar anyway. Are you riding the wave? Here's the thing we must bear in mind. Once customers experience convenience, they tend to expect more of it, and they tend to spend their money based on where they feel they are most likely to get it. That means if we want to ride the ever-intensifying wave like Uncle Johnny did, we need to be willing to listen to customers about what is and isn't convenient in their world, and even anticipate what they're going to consider convenient tomorrow. If you're wondering what the desire for convenience might look like as it approaches you, I invite you to consider the possibility that it might come in the form of a suggestion from one of your customers. Whether you choose to listen to that suggestion or not might make the difference between you and your business riding the wave of disruption or drowning beneath it. Convenience question. Who could possibly do a better job of telling you what's convenient and what isn't than your customer? Warren Danziger, who subscribes to my online newsletter, The Shepherd Letter, shared this true story with me. It was time for Warren to call the HVAC company he had used for years to come out for the semi-annual inspection of his air conditioner and furnace. As usual, Warren received excellent service. Shortly after the service call, he received an email requesting that he complete a survey, which he was happy to do. Upon completion of the survey, he was sent a $15 coupon to print out, which he was supposed to provide to the company at the time of his next service call. Warren replied to that offer in a way that perfectly captures the essence of the convenience revolution. It read as follows. Thank you for the coupon. Why is the onus on me to save the coupon for 6 months and to remember to present it to the repair person? If you really mean it, make a note in your computer file and automatically deduct it from my next service call. Warren recognized a friction point that the company may or may not have been aware of. You're going to be hearing that word friction a lot, by the way. The company that listens to and acts on this kind of customer feedback, or better yet, anticipates it, is the company that will position itself to ride the swelling wave of consumer demand for convenience and establish a powerful marketplace advantage. On the other side of the equation, the company that gets this kind of email and ignores it or dismisses it as not the way we do things is asking for trouble in the current market environment. Now, there may be some cynical people who say the company purposely makes the customer hold on to the coupon for 6 months, assuming he or she will forget about it or lose it and it won't be redeemed. However, I don't think that was this company's intent. I think they just wanted to show some generosity and appreciation. Warren recognized there was a better way to do it, and he started a conversation. Unfortunately, the company chose not to continue that conversation, which in today's world amounts to a white flag of surrender. Sadly, his suggestion went unheeded. The door was left open for a competitor. Has that ever happened in your organization? Convenience insight. Every time a customer shares feedback with you, consider it an opportunity to create a disruptive market advantage over your competition. I suspect the reason the company didn't continue the conversation was it had grown used to doing business in a certain way. That's basically asking for someone else to disrupt your market. What the leaders of the HVAC company could have done with Warren's suggestion was listen and seriously consider changing their approach. There are any number of ways they could have put his good idea into practice. For instance, they could have sent the coupon with something like the following explanation. You're welcome to print out the coupon as a reminder to schedule your next appointment Or don't print it and save a tree. Either way, we'll remember to apply it to the next service call. Thank you again for your business. All too often, companies think they are doing right by the customer, when in reality, they are adding friction. To survive and thrive, we need to listen to our customers and anticipate what's likely to reduce friction in their world. In other words, we need to ask ourselves, what would Uncle Johnny do to make the customer's day a little easier? This book is here to help you follow his example by analyzing what's really going on in the customer's world. Convenience questions. What friction already exists in your customer's world? What friction can you remove or at least reduce? What friction could you be adding without realizing it? What are the best ways to minimize or reduce that inconvenience? What could you do today to make it just a little easier to do business with you and your company? How can you make your customer's day a little easier? What are your competitors doing to reduce friction? How can you be even more convenient than your competitors? These are the kinds of questions we will be exploring together in this book. In today's environment, the customer expects not only good service, but also a better, more convenient experience. So making it easier for people to do business with us has now become not just an option, but a strategic imperative and a critical differentiator in every marketplace. There's 6 ways you can use convenience to disrupt your competition, and you'll learn about them in the next chapter. Chapter 3. The 6 Principles of the Convenience Revolution. Note, throughout this book I use the word customer as an umbrella term, even though in your world you may call your customer a guest, a member, a client, a patient, a resident, or some other name. In this chapter, I'll introduce the core concepts of the book, although we'll go into much greater depth and detail in the chapters that follow. For now, the 6 principles of the convenience revolution by which you will either disrupt the market or be disrupted are as follows. Number 1, reducing friction. Make doing business with you as easy as possible, taking down as many barriers as possible to buying or using a product or service. Reducing friction means anticipating and removing any barriers that stand between the customer and the product or service experience. This principle leads the list because it is the essence of convenience and serves as the foundation for the 5 principles that follow. Every company profiled in this book embraces the principle to some extent, but companies featured in the Reducing Friction chapter have built their brand's promise around breaking down barriers for their customers. These companies make reducing friction a critical component of their business strategy, giving them a competitive advantage and, in some cases, taking it to the point of disrupting and transforming their entire industry. Convenience insight. Friction is a hassle in your customer's world. Anything that removes friction, regardless of the source, is likely to improve your relationship with the customer. Number 2, self-service. Let your customers control the transaction and/or interaction. Self-service is the wave of the future. In air travel, retail, banking, hospitality, and countless other sectors of the economy, self-service is transforming the way customers buy and use products and services. Not all self-service options increase convenience when they are implemented, and not all consumers embrace self-service options that companies offer. As a recent study by Cheryl Kimes and Joe Collier in the MIT Sloan Management Review highlighted, managers significantly underestimated the need for employee interaction during a self-service experience, especially when customers were exhibiting technology anxiety. Customers want a safety net in case a failure occurs, we found, and they explicitly want an employee to be available. Convenience insight. A self-service option may improve your customer's experience with your company, but not all self-service options do. In this chapter, I profile companies that have taken this advice to heart and created innovative, well-designed self-service options with a human fallback. These are state-of-the-art, 21st-century interaction strategies that give customers control over the process, save them time, and keep them coming back for more. Number 3. Technology. Create new processes, tools, and ways of interacting that make life easier for customers. According to linguists, the word technology comes from an ancient Greek phrase, technologia, meaning systematic treatment of an art, craft, or technique. That's still a pretty good way of defining technology, a systematic treatment or process that makes accomplishing a goal easier. If it's a treatment we haven't seen or used before, we usually call it an invention or a breakthrough. Today's customers have come to expect a steady stream of technological breakthroughs, which means they expect rising levels of convenience from the tools they use. Consider how a single smartphone has not tens, not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of times more computing power than NASA had at its disposal when it sent a team of astronauts to the moon and brought them home safely back in 1969. And each new generation of communication and computing devices seems to consistently raise the bar higher still. It's no surprise, then, that customers are always on the lookout for relationships with companies that will provide newer, more exciting, and more efficient ways for them to leverage the astonishing technological power at their disposal. In the technology chapter, we look at some of the companies that are committed to delivering these bar-raising breakthroughs. Most of what you will find in this section couldn't have been predicted 5 years ago. By extension, most of what will happen in the next 5 years can't be predicted here, but what we can do is look at the trajectory now being established by some of the most dynamic market leaders, as well as the technological trends most likely to shape the convenience revolution in the days, months, and years ahead. Convenience insight. Customers appreciate a systematic process that makes life easier. If your technology does that, they will return to you again and again. Number 4. Subscription. Establish automated, scheduled delivery of products and services that people use on a regular basis. The subscription business model is a growth strategy with a popularity that seems unlikely to recede anytime soon. Pioneered by newspapers, magazines, and book clubs, subscriptions have now expanded into many other sectors of the economy. As Entrepreneur Magazine noted in March 2015, the subscription model owes its success to the optimal balance of value it provides to both the company and the customer. For customers, the value lies in the convenience. First, there's the autopilot simplicity of subscriptions that removes the thinking out of a purchase decision. Subscribers never have to remember to reorder every month, which gives them the reassurance that they will have whatever they need before they actually need it. Second, subscriptions offer a flat rate which helps customers stay within their budget, always. From the company's point of view, what's better than a repeat purchase? A repeat purchase that the customer makes automatically, month after month. The old adage about it being far more economical to retain a current customer than it is to secure a new one takes on a powerful new relevance in the convenience revolution. In the subscription chapter, I profile companies that have turned this age-old business strategy into a powerful information age market advantage, one that has the potential to disrupt and transform entire industries. Just ask Blockbuster Video. Convenience insight. A subscription model sets your customers' purchase preferences on autopilot. Number 5. Delivery. Bring the product to the customer rather than making the customer go to the product. As this book is being written, the restaurant industry is in the process of undergoing a major transformation. According to a recent National Restaurant Association forecast, 56% of all adults surveyed said they would order delivery from a table service restaurant if available. This is a huge shift in buying preferences, and as a result, Many restaurants that have never offered a delivery option before are offering one now. What's happening in the world of restaurants is just the tip of the iceberg. Making one less trip to the store, whatever kind of store that may be, is often perceived as a major lifestyle advantage for today's busy customers. This aspect of the convenience revolution reflects a rapidly accelerating expectation from customers: you bring it to me. There have been significant changes in both communications technology and consumer thinking in the past decade, and today's buyer is far more likely than previous generations to place an order for delivery and far less likely to quibble about the extra charge for doing so. This means there is the potential for a higher margin transaction and a higher lifetime customer value. In the delivery chapter, you'll learn about companies that have picked up on this trend and are building it into their business plan, or even making it the heart of their business plan. Convenience insight: customers like it when the product or service comes to them, because they don't have to go anywhere. Number 6, access. Decide where your market is, and then make sure you're there. What happens if your customer wants your product or service at 2 o'clock in the morning? What happens if your customer doesn't feel like driving all the way across town? What if there's an off-hour emergency? We'll take a closer look at some leading-edge companies that have found innovative answers to these and similar questions by dramatically easing the access to their people, products, and services. That ease of access might come in the form of flexible or expanded hours, but it might also come in the form of newer, more customer-friendly ways of delivering the product or service, or in the form of what I call strategic pervasiveness. The familiar experience of seeing a certain company logo show up over and over again, no matter where you go. For example, how far do you have to drive before you spot a Starbucks? In my world, it's just a few minutes in any direction. Once upon a time, the best example of cutting-edge access was the 24-hour convenience store. Today, the whole question of customer access has been transformed by the relentless rise of near-infinite options in online retail. Customer expectations of access are rising just as steadily. The companies you'll hear about in the access chapter have found ways to create a competitive advantage by staying ahead of the curve of customer access expectations. So, those are the 6 principles driving the new economy in which we all now live and operate. You don't have to compete in all 6 unless you want to, but if you can't find 1 or 2 areas where your organization can raise its game, prepare to be disrupted. Convenience insight: access means raising the bar for customers when it comes to availability, communication, and/or location. Before we move on, let me pose a question that I've now asked countless participants in my speeches and training programs. Given what you now know about convenience, about how customers are moving toward options that reduce friction, offer self-service, make subscription easy, leverage breakthroughs in technology, provide delivery, and give greater levels of access, what would you say is the most convenient company in the world to do business with? Chapter 4. Amazon. The most convenient company on earth. If you're competitor-focused, you have to wait until there is a competitor doing something. Being customer-focused allows you to be more pioneering. Jeff Bezos, Chief Executive Officer, Amazon. If you're like most people I talk to, one name instantly springs to mind when asked to identify the single most convenient company that they've ever done business with: Amazon. Let's look at just how far this company has come in what is, by historical standards, a very brief period of time. Amazon.com was founded in 1994. If you remember the release of the film Jurassic Park, 1993, you remember a time when people who wanted to buy something couldn't just go online and check Amazon because Amazon didn't exist yet. The online pioneer started out proclaiming itself as Earth's biggest bookstore.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?